So today we're going to continue with the book of Psalms. We're going to look at a lament, and we are looking at the different types of Psalms. The last week we looked at, the week before last, we looked at a hymn of praise, and now we will work through Psalm 42 and 43. So before we start this Bible study and prayer, let's commit this time to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we truly want to thank you for your presence. We want to thank you for your love and your goodness. We pray that your word will speak to us. We pray, Lord Father, that our hearts be open to you, especially, Lord, in a time like this, that you will teach us, Lord, how you understand prayer. As the disciples asked Jesus, teach us how to pray. Let us sit at your feet to learn, Lord, from you, how we should approach you, and how you understand our heart, our brokenness, our challenges, dear God. We pray that our eyes will be open to your presence, to your goodness, and that your word will transform us. We pray for your anointing, for your blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the sermon text is Psalm 42, 43, okay? So when I introduced the Psalms, I gave you all the structure of a lament. It has all the elements. It doesn't necessarily have all the elements in one psalm, but it will have quite a number of these elements: the invocation, the plea to God for help, the complaints, the confession of sin or assertion of innocence, the curse of enemies, confidence in God's response, and a hymn or a blessing. Okay, so as I read the psalm, just look out for some of these elements in the psalm. Okay. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night. While people say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul. How I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One, with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me, therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day the Lord directs his love, and night his song is with me, a prayer to God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Psalm 43, vindicate me, my God, and plead my cause against an unfaithful nation. Rescue me from those who are deceitful and wicked. You are God, my stronghold. Why have you rejected me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? Send me your light, your faithful care. Lead them. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God, my joy and my delight. I will praise you with a lyre. O God, my God, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Okay. So before we look at that, we find that there's a unity in the psalm. They all three share the same refrain. So as you look at the chart, when you see in Psalm chapter 42, verse 5, why, my soul, are you downcast? And then in verse 11, why, my soul, are you downcast? And then when we move to Psalm 43, the same refrain happens. So, you know, because of his theme and the corresponding refrain, you find that there's a unity in both the Psalms, you know, as it pleased to God. And there are Psalms that work together. In some of the Psalms, you hear the complaint and then the answer, or, you know, both Psalms exploring that prayer. So I think what you must be mindful of is perhaps it takes us less than 5 minutes to read the Psalm. But when the person writes the Psalm, when he constructs the Psalm, it takes, you know, we don't know, weeks or a week or so forth. And because it is a constant struggle with God, and it is moving through a difficult time where he complains to God and he's facing all these difficulties. All right. So that's why, you know, when we read it, perhaps we think that, you know, he just sat down and he wrote this and he prayed it within 5 minutes. But no, this is an ongoing discussion with God, which takes days and perhaps weeks and or months, you know, in some circumstances. Okay. So one of the other interesting thing about the book of Psalms and the poetic language is parallelism. Okay. So what it means is one sort of parallelism is where the same idea is repeated. So as you are familiar with the first verse, the very popular song that we sing, you know, as the deer pants for the living water, okay? So as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. So you see, it's the same idea, you know, how a deer pants for water, the same thing I'm experiencing. And then you see the same parallelism in verse 5. Why, my soul, are you downcast? And why so disturbed within me? So it uses images to explore his own feelings. And perhaps, you know, it looks at your feelings, you know, although it's the same thing, but it describes it more in depth. So from on top, it's from image to how I feel. And then the down one is, you know, talking about downcast, and then something is disturbed within you. So it explores it in a deeper way. So in that sense, this is the place where we sit down and reflect on the use of images and parallelism is to understand what's happening here. And you find even you can see structural parallelism as, you know, there is the prayer and then the refrain. In verse 5, then the prayer, the refrain again, and the prayer, and the refrain again. So it's three blocks that shares parallel ideas. And I mean, I put colors, and but as we go through, I'll explain to you how we derive these things. Okay. So, you know, when we run dry, God is the only one who can sustain us. Okay. Without him, there is no life. Without his presence in our lives, we run dry. Okay. And we all experience such times where we face, you know, our crisis phase is so loud and present that it overwhelms us. We find ourselves in a place of abandonment and despair. So what's interesting here is it's very hard for us to tell what is the actual circumstances the psalmist is facing. And as I've explained earlier, and that's a good thing, because if there's too much details, then the application will be limited, okay? So if the psalm is writing this in one circumstance, you know, then we will feel that we can only pray this prayer if we are facing that circumstance. But as we think about the body of Christ, the circumstances vary, okay? You know, it may be something you're facing in the workplace. It may be a sickness that you're dealing with, or a loss, or a difficult relationship that you're working with. You know, and then you can go across the nations, and you can think about in church, a persecuted church in China that is suffering. You can think about what happened during the ISIS, where the extremists were destroying Christian villages. And you can think about such a village being, you know, destroyed and kidnapped and people held in captive. You can think about what happened in Sri Lanka when the churches were bombed and so forth. So, I mean, it's the stories of the Christian journey throughout history is tremendous. And I do believe that we have to understand there's much that are difficult and very different situations all of us face. But this still is something familiar to us, because we all have experienced that place of, you know, where we feel abandoned and it's a place of despair. And we cannot figure out why we are in this place. Okay, You know, so, and the temptation in such a time is, you know, to try to think, oh, perhaps God has abandoned us, you know, and perhaps, you know, we either try to take things into our own hands and try to do whatever we want, or we may choose to sink into despair. So we do run dry, and in the spiritual journey, this removes us from the presence of God. And I think as believers, we know that life comes from the presence of God. There is something, you know, powerful, amazing, and meaningful that takes place within us when we are in the presence of God. And without Him, we are parched and thirsty, okay? So the psalmist starts that he's thirsty, okay, without life, all right? He has the deer pants for water, so he's seeking for the Lord. And he begins to describe his plight, okay? So he says, well, my tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, where is your God? Okay, and that is a very agonizing, you know, image, you know, you know, his food is his tears, all right? Okay. And as much as he's in that place of misery, people are taunting him and say, look at you now. And where is your God? Where's the God whom you confess? All right. Okay. And then, you know, he says, my bones suffer mortal agony. My foes taught me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? So he's in the mortal danger, you know. And his foes are threatening him in that day. Okay, so the psalmist is in that plight, okay? And you find this is where you begin to see some parallelism when he talks about, you know, all day long and day and night. And then he moves to, in verse 8, he says, by day the Lord directs his love, and night his song is with me, a prayer to God of my life. So this is the language of parallelism. So at one, he starts remembering about the past of what God used to do in his life, how he used to experience God. So there's one point he used to see God direct him, you know, by day, by his love. And at night, you know, there's a song within him, okay? And that song is a prayer, you know, to the Lord of his life. So he enjoyed that, the tremendous revival and renewal of spirit in the presence of God. But now, you know, his food day and night has been tears, okay? And the only song that he hears is the taunts of his enemies all day long, okay? You know, asking him, where is your God? So, you know, that's the thing about remembering. In some ways, it remembering is moving us out from where we are, and we are focusing on God. But at the same time, remembering provides context in a way that we suddenly begin to realize, wow, you know, things were really good in the past, but now things are really bad for me. Okay, so it makes things worse in that way. Okay, and so he goes on and he persists to remember. So we can see, you know, in verse 3, he says, my tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, where is your God? And verse 4, he tells to himself, these things I remember as I pour out my soul, okay, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection, okay, of the mighty one with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. Okay, so he starts to remember the time where he used to praise the Lord with the body, okay, with the nation, you know, in communal praise, and those moments where God visited them, and he turns his mind to the God, you know, who is a God of his life and of his people who was with him, okay. And then in 10, he goes back, you know, and think about his present situation, you know, where he's in physical dangers and being taunted by the foes, and again the refrain, where is your God? And then he starts remembering again, okay, you know, in between that, my soul is downcast within me, therefore I will remember you from the land of Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls, all your waves and breakers have swept. Okay, so he's saying here, you know, he's looking at the way the River Jordan turns into a waterfall, and he's seeing the presence of God was like that waterfall that roars around him, that overwhelmed him. But it's here, the language is pretty interesting, okay? And they find that whole expression, deep calls to deep, pretty cryptic, okay? I mean, it has so much, it's something for us to think about very carefully, all right? And what actually is happening here, he says, as much as God has met him in the festive environment of praise and worship as Israel came together as a community to worship, but in that quiet place, in the mighty roar of waterfall, you know, when the waves and the water, you know, swept over me, in the sense, this is the very language Jonah used when he was praying to God from the fish stomach, you know, and he says the waves swept over me. He's talking about that, but he's saying, you know, that as sometimes we experience God in a tremendously deep way, because God is great and his presence overwhelms us in ways that, you know, we do not understand. And therefore he's hoping, you know, that he will meet God even in this place of despair, you know, that in a deep way, the Lord will direct him by his love and ignite through a song and a prayer. So you can see he's moving towards that. As much as he's speaking of his own dilemma, he's turning himself and saying, you know, my soul is downcast and I will remember. And he began to remember the different situations and the different ways in which God had ministered to him in the past. Okay, and then he lays down the complaint. All right, you know, and he comes to a place where he just pours out his heart to God. And this is interesting. I mean, one of the great church fathers, Athanasius, says, you know, I mean, he put it in a long way, but in the more simple sense, he says that many parts of the Bible speak to us, but the Psalms speak for us. And interestingly, the Psalms actually gives language to come before God and ask these questions and ask God, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning oppressed by the enemy? And then again in 43:2, you know, why have you rejected me? Why must I go about mourning oppressed by the enemy? Okay. So the question reveals to us the depth of the struggle, you know, forgotten and rejected. All right. And I'm sure, you know, when you go through struggles, and I've met many people who have gone through struggles, you know, and they wonder if God has forgotten them or God has rejected them. Perhaps they've done something and God doesn't want them anymore in their presence. Okay. And many people struggle with this because, you know, of the challenges they face in life. And wondering why these challenges are happening. Perhaps these challenges are a sign that I have been forgotten and rejected by God. Okay. But remember, the psalmist, as much as he has saying these things, he still remembers the many times, you know, his experience with God was the total opposite, you know, where God embraced him, God led him, and like God spoke to him, God engulfed him with his presence. So you can see the up and down in this journey of prayer. And yes, that's what happens, you know, when we go through a time of difficulty. I mean, I remember talking to people who were going through cancer, and asking them how they were doing each day or each week, you know, and they would speak of their journey, you know, and some days they would sense the presence and the goodness of God, and they'd be reminded, you know, of the mercies of God, and some days they felt totally out of it, and they are really struggling as to what to do, okay? All right, and then on top of it, there are the presence of the enemies, okay? And it's true, you know, perhaps we may not use the term, you know, enemy as people who are, we have to use the term of enemy as people who are not for God, okay? And there are people who speak against us, all right? And there are people who say the wrong things, all right? This one particular person who was going through cancer, and sadly some of the Christians she met, you know, they were just asking, you know, that person so many questions as to find out what sin she did, you know, as to get this cancer, you know, so that's sad, all right? And sometimes there are people who who gloat and oppress others, you know, and we see that happening in the way the world does things, all right? So he is saying, why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony, you know, rescue me from those who are deceitful and wicked. And there's this description of the enemy. And while people say to me all day long, where is your God? As my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? So what's interesting is this. I'm sure you all get mad and you all have heard something somebody said to you, you know, and you are so angry and upset to it. Okay, and the thing is, you know, the best place to talk about all this anger and pain and dissatisfaction is in the presence of God, rather going out and taking it out on a person out there. All right, this is the place where God wants you to express all this, you know, that is taking place in your heart. Okay, and so he's struggling with it because again, you know, the one refrain, the repetition of the same question is asked. You know, where is your God? Okay, so it's this kind of sad. Okay, you feel abandoned, condemned. You know, there is no God, and you know, and the enemy is taunting you. You know, is what you're believing true or not? You know, are you really God's child? You know, do you really belong to God? You know, is there any benefit in your faith? Look at your condition. So there's a feeling of abandonment, condemnation, and lostness, and that voice is coming. Not just from within, but from without, okay, from outside, right? And what's interesting here, you know, the psalmist begins to talk to himself, okay? And this is the refrain that takes three places. So apart from remembering who God was to him in the past and how God worked in his life, he begins to speak to himself and he questions himself and he says, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so distant within me? And he says, put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. So he's, you know, he's calling himself, okay, the admonition, okay, why are you downcast? You know, why are you so disturbed? And then the instruction, you know, that comes with the admonition, you know, put your hope in God. And the confession is, you know, that I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. And the confession here is pretty amazing because it is not just, you know, getting what he wants or having the victory, but rather that he will be in the place of worship, you know, where he is satisfied by the presence of God. Okay. You know, he will still be in the place, although he doesn't feel and experience that satisfaction at this point of time. Okay, but yet he speaks to himself, he admonishes himself. All right, and this is not like the usual, you know, positive self-talk kind of thing, because this is bringing focus to God, to who God is. And the point of this talk is to bring one back into the place of worship, you know, and knowing, you know, that God can be trusted. So in spite of the dire situation the psalmist is, in spite of the hole he feels himself sinking within, he still believes there is such thing as hope, simply because God is with him. Okay, the door is not closed, you know, nothing will overwhelm him. There is a place of hope, you know, there is a reason for hope, you know, and that place, that reason, that person who brings hope is God himself. So he directs himself to who God is. And by doing so, he dispels the many things about him being rejected, him being, you know, abandoned and so forth, because his whole hope is in God. He refuses to hear those voices in his head and, you know, the voices of his enemies. Okay. So, and finally, he begins to pray again, and this constant reminder, you know, and the constant speaking to oneself, he prays, he says to God, you know, vindicate me, my God, okay, because there is hope, because now he believes God will act on his behalf. So he looks to God and he starts to say, God, you vindicate me, okay, and you plead my cause against the unfaithful nation. Okay, and you rescue me from those who are deceitful and wicked, because you are my source of hope. Then he says, you are God, my stronghold. Okay, why have you rejected me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? He still raises the question, but more differently as a challenge, as why, you know, should he be in this place, okay? And he again says, send me your light, your faithful care. Let them lead me. Let them bring me back to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. Lord, lead me back into your presence, okay? So it's kind of amazing how the flow of thought moves, all right? You know, he starts off with, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet with God? All right. And then he starts to remember the time where he used to be in the presence of God. And then finally ends, you know, and with the confession, you know, that's where I will go and meet with you. Okay. Your light and your faithful care, you know, they will lead me and bring me to your holy mountain, the place where you dwell. Okay. And you find that this whole movement, okay, you know, from the left to the right, you know, from being thirsty to remembering and to being hopeful that he will be in that place of worship, okay, is developed by that same refrain, put your hope in God, for I will praise him, my Savior and my God, to go back into that place of worship and praise, okay, and that's his confidence in God, all right, and I think there's a few things I do want to point out. So the goal here is not like a goal where, you know, it's just me getting what I want, me overcoming, you know, my situation and me being in a better place, all right? The thirst here is the thirst for God's presence, for God's goodness, for who God is, all right? Okay, so he longs to be in the place of worship, all right? And that's what he is looking for. And that's what he moved towards. So you find that, you know, in the whole prayer, you know, he starts at the bottom pouring out his thirst. Then he remembers, he goes up, then he goes down and questions, then he speaks to oneself, he goes up, then he complains, then he petitions. And there's a slow movement, you know, towards a place where he's able to ask God, okay? So, you know, if you're depressed and you're totally given up, you don't ask anything, you know, you just don't see any light at the end of the tunnel. You just think everything is broken. But through that confession, you know, through that, you know, through pouring out his grief, through complaining, okay, both ups and downs, you know, and both is needed, but it both slowly shifts him to a place of hope where he comes to a place and he begins to ask God for the answer. Okay, and I think that's the thing that we have to realize, you know, because many times when we face difficulty and challenges, we don't come to that place of petition, and then we don't allow that petition to come from a place of hope, so that we can end, you know, knowing and experiencing God in a way that begins to stir confidence in our hearts that we will go through this, you know, this trial, this problem, it will pass, you know, we will overcome this, we will stand firm, we will yet experience God in the midst of this trial. So you can see that happening in the entire Psalms. So that is a few things I do want to speak about you, okay? So you one thing, as I said just now, the whole journey is towards the presence of God. And I think that's what we have to be mindful when we think about prayer. I think the most important thing, prayer is not a formula to get what you want. It's not learning a bunch of incantations, you know, to fix your life in a way that you imagine, but rather it is moving towards God, and it's moving towards God in awe of who he is, in and finding, you know, the true joy and pleasures of life in the place of worship. Okay, so that is the point, all right? And the Christianity we believe is that in, no matter what the circumstances, you know, the joy of the Christian and the works that we proclaim and we celebrate is the works of deliverance through the cross, you know, and it's through that cross we have the presence of the Holy Spirit within us, and we become the temple of the Holy Spirit, and we become a place of worship, and we learn to honor God. So that is the primary focus. So that cannot be replaced if not these prayers do not work. If the whole thing, the whole reason for prayer is about ourselves, then it will not work. The other thing that I do want you to spend some time thinking about is this whole verse, you know, deep calls to deep, you know, and then that is the speaking to oneself. So let me talk about speaking to oneself. And interestingly, as a pastor, I've heard, when people talk to me, sometimes they tell me what they tell themselves, all right? And of course, I also have said things to myself. And many times we say, we speak to ourselves very loudly and say, oh, I cannot do this. It's too hard. I don't feel, I can't experience God. It's very hard for me to be like in prayer, very hard for me to experience God this way. What if I give up and all that? And this whole tons of excuses that we say, all right? And I think, many times we do speak to ourselves from that aspect, and our problem is we don't speak to ourselves, as believers, all right? So yes, the psalmist here is speaking to himself all kinds of things about his situation, he speaks to God, and then he speaks to himself above that, all right? He's saying, all right, I'm in a depressed situation, but don't be that, put your hope in God. Okay. So sometimes we see ourselves, I've been trying this, I can't do this. Well, okay, yes. But I can believe in God. I can get help. I can ask people and pray with me and work this through. And we start to speak ourselves to ourselves in light of God's truth and God's promises. Okay, and that's what needs to happen here. Okay, and I mean what has happened here in the Psalms, and that's what has to happen in our life. We have to change the conversation. And in order for that conversation to be effective, it has to be deep. All right. So as I said, it's not the point here is not just us getting what we want and not us being in a place of pleasure and success and victory and comfort. Okay, so it's not, oh God, I want that promotion, I want the parking space, I want more money, I want the recognition, I want success, I want people to like me. It's not all about that, because the depth of Christianity is, letting go of all that and having the joy of the Lord fill us as we learn how to deny ourselves, embrace the cross, and give ourselves to others. It's about finding God, like what we heard last week, in the place of forgiveness, of letting go. It's about finding God in the place of surrender. It's about finding God in a place where we say, no, we don't want this, but rather we want to put our treasures in heaven, where moths and rust do not destroy. Okay, so it's a deeper call. So we cannot have a very shallow outlook at the self-talk. And I think that's what is dangerous. It's not just cheering ourselves or just putting on some YouTube stuff. And it's not sometimes always so simple. Yes, listening to worship songs and all this does help. But don't make it just about that. God calls you to go deeper and look at the thoughts and the feelings and the questions in mind and what God is telling you. So, what Christians sometimes want to do is, just want to have an emotional boost, very much how psychologists would describe self-talk, so they want a sermon, a song, just to lift them up and so forth, without being deep and without really developing a true understanding of what's happening within their heart and how God is speaking that to them. Okay. God is not simply going to give you what you want to make you feel good, but rather God wants you to understand the journey to his presence. And we see that in the life of Christ. We see that on the cross. We see Jesus even praying the language of the Psalms. My God, why have you forsaken me? Okay. And in that depth, in that richness, he encounters God, in his fullness, in his goodness. And that's how God wants us to meet him. All right. So as we move into a time of prayer, let us keep this in mind. Okay, I put there my soul, okay. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. And yes, in such a time that many people are facing trials because of this pandemic and people are downcast for the very reasons and a lot of the normal routines in life has shifted, and some of you, your work you're facing challenges in terms of work and your income and the challenges here. But we are going to learn to bring our fears and our burdens before the Lord. You know, we're going to learn how to persist in prayer. We're going to learn to find rest in the work of Jesus Christ, because He has saved us. It's going to be okay, because He is with us. You know, we're going to find deliverance in His truth. So let's pray that God, you know, will teach us, okay, to come before Him, teach us to persist in prayer, and rather than saying cannot, can't be done, I'm not like this, I'm not like that, but rather to seek God and hold on to Him and say, you know, put your hope in God. He can make you more like Him, right? And then there's a list of prayer items, and then healing. Will continue to pray for Tabitha's mom, Sister Rachel. She'll be going for surgery next week. Do praise God, and as we pray, praying for them, God has made a way for all of them to receive the vaccination, so that will help them as they go up to the hospital. But continue to pray for God's favor and guidance in this challenging time. Okay, and this is one thing I would like to request you. I've just put the prayer list. I think you know some of the prayer lists that you're praying, and I do want to encourage you to pray. Okay, so you can take any items in the list, you can pray any items that God has put in your heart to pray. You can pray for the church, you can pray for, you know, evangelism, and you can pray for a renewal in our life. But do believe and do take on this time and this challenge to pray as a church. Amen. So let's commit this time to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we truly want to thank you for your presence. We want to thank you for your goodness. We want to thank you for the way your word speaks to our heart. You know, God, it's so real, Lord. Sometimes we sink into despair. Things can get very hard, Lord, in this work. You know, the conditions in our workplace, the situation with our family members, and perhaps our own experiences, Lord, can lead us to a place where we feel everything is against us, and that you have abandoned us, and everyone is taunting us. Is where are you in that moment of need, dear God? But dear Lord, we pray that as we learn from your word, we will learn to remember. We will learn how to move into the deeper places, Lord, of knowing you, dear God, of the places where you invite us, Lord, to know you, dear God. Let us embrace the cross, Lord, and understand, Lord, the place of suffering, the place of brokenness. At the same time, you know, embrace the story of hope that we see in the resurrection, Lord, that no matter what it is, at the end is made clear to us. At the end, everything will be resolved. Everything will be well. And because of that end, Lord, we can start to have hope, Lord, and put hope. Our hope in you for our present times of crisis, dear Lord. So, Lord, we pray, Lord, Father, as much as we learn how to, we have brought our problems before you, we pray that we learn how to do this, Lord, in a way you invite us to, Lord, in a way you have illustrated to us in your word, Lord. Let us speak from our heart, dear Lord, knowing that it's only you, Lord, we can talk to. It's only you, Lord, who knows the deepest recesses of our heart, deepest thoughts and struggles within us. Knowing, Lord, Father, that this conversation, Lord, is met and blessed by the presence of your Spirit, dear Lord. And as we confess your word and as we pray through your word, something really happens within us, dear God. So help us, Lord, Father. Teach us, Lord, to trust in you, Lord, that whatever you have said, and every promise that you're given in Christ is ours, Lord, is a yes and amen. All we have to do is persist, Lord, to believe, to hold on, Lord, to not, Lord, allow other things, you know, take hold of our thoughts, our goals, our purpose, dear God. So as a church, we come before you, that you lead us, that you guide us, that you help us, dear God. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, we praise you. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for who you are, dear Lord. We continue to pray, Lord Father, that you lead this country and continue to stir our hearts, Lord, especially your people, to look to you. Dear Lord, that with all the challenges that we face as a nation, especially in practicing our faith, in bringing people into your kingdom, Lord. We pray that all the challenges that beset us, Lord Father, the rules of this nation will not move us to a place where we give up, dear Lord, where we feel this cannot be done. We continue to look to you, Lord Father, and believe that you will make a way, Lord. And we pray that you will be with all the communities, Lord, in need. We pray for more Bumiputra churches. We pray, Lord, that you would touch their hearts, that you would stir them in these churches, be strong in your spirit, Lord, and there will be, and your church will represent every voice, Lord, every tribe, every tongue in this nation, dear Lord. We pray, Lord Father, for the marginalized. We pray for the poor. We pray for all those who are struggling, Lord, especially in this time, Lord. We pray, Father, that the church will continue to bless these communities, and that you will raise leaders, Lord, and that will care for such communities, Lord, with great purpose and thought and wisdom, dear God. We pray, Lord Father, that for all the migrant workers that are facing difficult challenges, Lord Father, for many who are without work, Lord, and we pray that you will meet their needs, that you will bless them. We pray that you would set them free from every oppressive force, Lord, and every thought of the enemy. We pray that you would draw them, Lord, into your love, into your goodness. Father, we pray, Lord Father, that that you would guide us, dear Lord, that you would bring a revival in the churches of Malaysia, that we will seek your face above all things. Dear Lord, we also continue to pray for Tabitha's mom. We want to thank you for the many miracles and the things that you're doing, dear Lord. But we pray, Lord Father, that you help the Lord. Even now, she is in a place of questions and despair, Lord Father. But we pray that you will continue to teach her to put her hope in you, to be strengthened by your favor, by your grace, Lord. And we pray for healing, Lord. We pray that you would deliver her from this cancer, that the surgery would be successful, that you would guide them, the doctors, and that you would bring her, Lord Father, in a place where she is cancer-free. Just pray for Colin, for Tabitha and the rest of the family, and especially, Lord, as they take her to the hospitals and meet for all the needs, Lord, we pray that you protect them from this pandemic, that you would bring peace in their mind, Lord, in their spirit, in their heart, Lord Father, as all these things that they have to go through, that every day they will meet you, Lord, your love and your kindness. Dear God, for the rest of us, Lord, again, Lord, we come before you as the psalmist says, Lord, send me your light and your faithful care. Let them lead me. Let them bring me back to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell, dear Lord. Dear God, we do envy, Lord Father. We are parched, Lord Father, and we can't live in this world without your presence, dear Lord. We are dry, dear Lord Father. We may say to ourselves that it is because of everything else, dear Lord. But the real reason, Lord, of our spiritual dryness is because we need you, Lord Father. We need to be refreshed in your presence by your word. We need to be embraced, Lord, by your goodness. We need to be standing, Lord, in your truth, Lord Father. So, Lord, we pray that you would help us to understand, Lord, the place, Lord, that you have given us, Lord, to be spiritually nourished, Lord, the place of prayer, the place of obedience, of serving you, of worship, dear Lord, of living for you, dear God. And we pray that we will not be tempted to look to other things, but rather find, Lord, renewal and strength in your love, in your grace, and believing, Lord, that this renewal, Lord, is a renewal, Lord, to make us more like you in a time like this, to make us more your representatives, your people, your body, Lord, your light, the salt, Lord, Father, in this world today. So let us come, Lord, for there is hope in you. There is always hope in you, dear Lord. Because of the cross and the resurrection, there will be hope, Lord. And the message of hope will always go forth, dear Lord. Bringing light to darkness, overturning despair, dear Lord. Bringing joy and freedom to the captives. Let us proclaim your word, Lord, with hope, with joy. We thank you, Father. We want to thank you for everyone gathered here. Continue to speak to us, guide us, move us, dear Lord. Let us stand firm. Let us seek you, Lord. Let us pray, Lord. Let us come into your presence with joy, with hope. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.